A long-awaited arrival of Quicksilver is happening this week in Marvel Strike Force. Is this a valuable must-buy character, or is he a hard pass? We're discussing everything that we know about his release method, including how long until you're able to build him up to 7 gold stars. We also have changes coming to the Crucible, War, and a bunch of events running concurrently this week. So we're going over everything that you need to prepare for all of that in this edition of your Marvel Strike Wars Weekly News Update. This week, I'm joined by my brother Dorky Dad, and if you're ready for all that and more, Dorky, tell him what to do, my friend.
Burn the precious.
Alley flyer.
Hello, Marvel Strike Force fans. Welcome back to the Valley Flying channel. I am Valley Flying. Hope you're having a great day. In this video, we're talking all about Quicksilver, the events that are coming up this week, the changes, the war, Crucible, all of that and more in this edition of your Marvel Strike Force Weekly News Update. We do this video every week talking about all the events that have happened, good or bad, in Marvel Strike Force. And if you haven't subscribed, hit that subscribe button for more great Marvel Strike Force content, because we have this news video, we have question and answer videos, gameplay videos, everything to help you in Marvel Strike Force. And if you're listening to the podcast version of this, well, give it a 5-star review on whatever platform you're listening to. But without further ado, I am joined by Brother Dorky Dad this week. How are you, Brother Dorky Dad?
I'm doing great, man. How you doing?
I am doing well. How are you enjoying Marvel Strike Force this week?
There is way too much going on to keep track of. So I've been dabbling in other games just to take all the pressure off. And in doing so, I like Marvel Strike Force a lot more.
Nice. I've been playing a few other games too, and I almost come back to Marvel Strike Force. I'm even starting to play Marvel Strike Force more than I'm playing Marvel Snap right now. But do you know what you should be hoarding right now, Dorky Dad? Because there's a lot of things going on. We have a bunch of events starting today. Are you prepared for all this stuff?
I have no idea what's coming. I just hoard everything now. Until that timer says like 6 hours remaining till it's gone, I leave it in the mailbox.
That's probably the smartest thing to do. But for those of you that want to try to open some of your mails, want to open some stuff, let's talk about the weekly Horde Watch here. So there's a few things going on. First thing, starting today is Shopping Spree, which hopefully you've saved all your gold orbs. Have you been saving all your gold orbs for this Shopping Spree event?
Yeah, but I don't have very many. I'm not expecting to do well in this event at all.
I opened them all the last event that I was hoarding for, and I didn't re-up my supply too much. So that is one of them. Campaign energy and raid energy. Have you been saving these? Because there's another event starting today that you're going to need these resources for. Your raid rewards. Not raid energy. Your raid rewards. Your raid credits is what you need to save, not your raid reward.
Yeah, I'm so happy that you asked me to be here today, because now I know that I'm doing the right thing, because I have my raid rewards hoarded. I got a bunch of campaign energy. I haven't done my energy for the day yet. I have all the web store energy hoarded up, so looking pretty good for these.
All right, and there's another ISO 8 energy spending campaign event going on that should be coming soon as well. So that is not just all your ISO 8 energy. Have you been hoarding your strike mail, your strike pass mail with the ISO 8 energy in there?
Yeah, so until there's a core, like collect core event, or there's a spend ISO 8 energy, I don't touch the strike pass. And then when that event starts, I just claim it all. And if I miss out on one of the events, at least I got one of the events.
That's a smart thing to do as well. I don't usually claim those until I know something's going on. And last but not least, your Blitz Charters. There's a Blitz event coming up on, or it's data mined to be coming up on the 25th of this month. So hopefully you've been saving all your Blitz energy, and hopefully you're ready to do a Blitz grind event for the Iron Fist World War II.
Hard pass.
Okay. Well, now you're all caught up. If you want to min-max this event, then you perfectly can. If you don't, then that's fine as well. Let's talk about this new character coming. It is Quicksilver. He's going to be released through Cosmic Crucible Ranking Rewards. And we've seen data mines of this for a while. We've been asking this in Envoy chat for a while. How are we going to get stars? How red stars for Quicksilver? And it's been confirmed in this blog post. He purchased with dark promo credits. How valuable of a character do you think he is going to be? Is this something that you're going to buy day one, or are you going to earn this over time with your Cosmic Crucible rankings? What is your thoughts on Quicksilver and how much he's going to impact Marvel Strike Force?
I think he's going to be very impactful, but not enough to make me spend money. So I haven't spent money since Kang. And I plan on not doing, like, I'm not buying passes. I'm not buying anything. And though he's good, and I think paired with a character like Doom or a character like Kestrel, he can be, they can have the same kind of powerful synergy that, say, an Eternals have or the Tangled Web characters have. Like, he's that good a character if you can manipulate him to pop off. But he's very stat reliant. So he needs to have the yellow stars and the red stars to do that. And also, man, his kit is very much piercing and ignores defense up as well. So he can get away without some kind of star. So I'm a little bit optimistic based on some of the data mines we've seen. But we got some information we're going to go over here that makes me a little less optimistic.
Yeah, no, I was thinking he's going to be kind of like a Silver Surfer. Very, very strong, works on a lot of teams, and then kind of falls off. Now, Silver Surfer, I don't know if you remember, was very viable at very low stars, even though he had more of a stat-based kit. Do you think that Quicksilver is going to fall in that Silver Surfer-type character that even a year from now, he'll still be a strong character, but not really have a home that he's going to be on his main team?
So, like, on release, I think for somebody like me who's playing at the top 1%, trying to break into top 100 for Crucible again, I think if I had him at 4 yellow and 4 red, he would be as good as any 7 yellow, 6 red star character, such as like a Wolverine or a Omega Red or something like that. I don't know why I said Wolverine, but like an Omega Red. So I think he will absolutely work at lower star levels, but we just don't know the particulars about how we're going to be getting those yellows.
Well, we sort of do. It's not official. It's through data mine. So what the data mine did say is, you're going to earn these in season 2 of Cosmic Crucible. So there's still a few more weeks of season 2. I think we're in season 2, right? It says season 2, but I'm guessing this is season 3.
If you've unlocked Cosmic Crucible, different seasons. Like, we had the first one, which they called the preseason. Then we had the one where Skill was in room 6. Then we had the Age of Apocalypse. Then we had the one pre-Tangled Web Eternals room. And now this one is, might as well be a new season, because that room 5 is atrocious. Yeah. They don't know what they're doing when they're labeling seasons.
What do you think this is? We're gonna get shards this next week in Cosmic Crucible before season 2 ends, or is this really supposed to be for season 3? Or they just got confused about all that stuff?
Well, this is a data mine, so I wouldn't be surprised if it's supposed to say season 3, and that it's gonna start 2 weeks from now. Or maybe it'll. We're at the very least, we must be in season 2. We have to be.
I'm guessing it's starting in 2 weeks, but we will see, because that's when it says the season 3 is ending. Now, it says top performers can earn between 15 shards per week, and that is if you're in gold 1, up to 100 shards per week, and that's you're in a grandmaster. So some decent shards for this character they're going to get on a weekly basis, and very, very good shards if you are performing well in Cosmic Crucible. How long do you expect, just doing the math in your head, it's going to take you to get a 7-star Quicksilver?
So sounds like if you're in Grandmasters, you're going to get it within 8 weeks, which is kind of crazy. It's the fastest they've ever let anybody get it. But also, if you're in Grandmasters, you're probably spenders, so you'll get it sooner.
Yeah.
Me and my buddy Dead math this out. If it's a linear decline in the shards, you're losing about 7 shards per drop in rank. So it'd be like Masters 3 would get you 93. And so it's not going to be linear. It's definitely going to have some kind of exponential moment in there. But the very worst case scenario, at 15 shards, it would take you 50 some weeks, which is a year, and you would get him at 7 yellow stars. So if you're at the very, very bottom, you would still get him at 7 yellow stars faster than they let you get a single shard of Agatha.
Oh, jeez. That's a little bit of his perspective. All right, so I guess it's friendlier than some of the releases they had in the past, right? The Agatha, Icarus, some of these characters that have been long. Now, we did get a new blog post, but currently, as of us recording it, the blog post is not out yet. But this is the blog post here. There's some good things about being in the Envoy program that we get to preview this blog post. So it says, next week, keep an inbox message for message alerting you to his additional to the Elite store, where his first 3 red stars will be available for purchase with dark promo credits. His 4th and 5th red stars will be available in the Elite store at a future date. So only being available 3 red stars, and this kind of goes along with the event that's going on right now, or it should be starting later today, that shopping spree event. Is this a good news that you can only buy 3 red stars for this character? Were you thinking we could build this up to 7 right now? Is this a good thing or a bad thing that we can only get 3 red stars for this character?
It really depends on like whose shoes you're wearing, right? Like if you're someone who's going to buy into 4 yellow stars, but you're not somebody who's going to compete in the spending spree event and be top 150 and then get those 4 red stars, then you're kind of, you're like, why would I buy this character and not be able to even get red stars on him yet? And then when I can get the red stars, I'm limited to 3. But then for someone, I really don't mind it personally. In my situation in particular, because I'm not going to buy him. I'm going to get his shards very slowly. I'm not at 4,000 dark promos right now, so it's not like I could bring him all the way up to 5 anyway. Apparently, also, I have a little birdie on the inside, and he was telling me that the dark promotion cost is going to kind of mimic what Zombie Iron Man has, which is like 5, then 6, then 9, then 15, and something like that. So it's like I have 900 dark promos right now. I wouldn't have the dark promos to bring him up to 4 or 5 anyway. And I think he's going to be maxed out at 5 for a while because of that Kraken leaderboard where the maximum reward for the, I think this is the top 50 character players, are going to get him at 5 red stars. They would not give him at 5 red stars, but have 6 and 7 available anytime soon anyway. Because then the Krakens would be like, why did I just drop $1,000 or $2,000 on this event to get this anyway? So
now, does this change how you're spending your dark promo credits? I mean, maybe you were saving for not using on Red Hulk or Morgan Le Fay or some of these other characters. Does this change what you're doing now, knowing that at least initially he's going to only be available at 3 red stars?
So I just recently brought Archangel up to 6 red stars. I did that in preparation for the coming new raid. Because I think the difficulty is going to go up. Bigger Archangel will make that section a lot easier. After that, my Morgan's at 7. My Red Hulk's at 6. I'll probably leave him at there because it kind of messes with the Doom counter.
Yeah.
So he kind of does creep his way into my top priority, especially if he does have those low early costs where it's like 5, 6, 9. What is that? It's 1,100, 2,000 dark promos total. I think you can farm that 3 in about stars. 2 months. Yeah, and then you have him at 3 stars. That's the max they're going to let us have him at anyway. So at the very worst, I would be tied with everybody else outside of the top 150 characters, or sorry, 150 players. So in my head, it's kind of like, it's kind of an even-ish playing field at that point. So I don't mind any. Yeah, he's my top priority, mostly because I know I'm going to do well in the Nova event. So I know I'm going to get red stars for Nova there. Nova is the X factor for a lot of people, I think.
Nova's good. Super Skrull, we don't even have his kit yet. It looks like he's going to be a very strong character as well. I'm going to be pushing for both of those. Now, the other thing I wanted to ask you about with these offers here, when do you think we're going to get this 4th and 5th? I mean, sometimes they've said we're going to have it at a later date. The later date is the following week. When do you think this is going to be? Is this a couple of weeks from now, a couple of months from this? Or when do you think this is going to be the 4th and 5th for Quicksilver?
I think it's going to be a bit. I think it'll be a while. I think they might even try and run a secondary auction to try and get that 4th and 5th red star to people out before they let the public get it from the dark promo store. At least that's what I would do if I was a sleazy business person. Otherwise, 6 to 8 weeks probably. Maybe 12 weeks. They got to let the Krakens enjoy that Kraken leaderboard snack they gave them, right? And like I said,
I'm happy with that.
Exactly. It would let me build up my dark promo, so I'd be ready for it anyway.
Yeah, I'd like that. The longer they leave it like this, the better. So I think, in my opinion, this is a good thing. All right, moving on from Quicksilver. Looks to be a very exciting character. Should be out tomorrow. Let me know if you guys are going to get the offer for him or if you're going to hard pass on it because of the amount of shards that you could potentially get from Cosmic Crucible. But moving on, we have a shopping spree event and one of the big rewards are some juicy character shards. What do you think of the selection of these juicy character shards, these business characters? They've chosen a few of them. What do you think about who they selected for this? Green Goblin, She-Hulk, Hulkbuster, Kingpin. What do you think these are worthy of making people excited in this event?
No. No way, shape, or form. But the good news is it all comes before the monthly item. So we're supposed to be able to get that without having to actually shoot for it. It's not like it's one of the later milestones where you're like, oh, great. Now I have some more Kingpin shards. Now I have 10 Kingpin shards. Hopefully the juicy characters are just not those business characters.
Do you think the 5 red star Iron Man is worth it for newer players to really be pushing this event for? It's a little bit past that monthly item event. Do you think it's worth it, newer players or anybody that doesn't have a 5 red star Iron Man, to be pushing harder at this event?
So that's a 15,000 point jump. It depends on how the scoring goes. I think Bionic Avengers are done. I think in the next raid, we'll be using them for like the first few months. We're all going to be super miserable about it. And then a new tech team is going to be released. That is my opinion, though, so I could be wrong. So if you can push for it just by opening up a few extra gold orbs, if you have been hoarding, then I would do that. In worst case scenario, you get yourself 3750 Elite Four tickets.
But for this one, we have something interesting here. This is the one that you need to hoard your gold orbs. I don't know if a lot of people have that because we just had a gold orb opening event just a few weeks ago. But also, this is different. You could get these milestone points from special daily offers. You could purchase this with a few different currencies. Power cores, gold. Both of those are very, very short supply for me, so I'm probably not going to do those. But also raid credits, war credits. I got a lot of those. And what Archangel said in the Envoy chat, if you open one gold orb a day, which you should be able to get just from your normal raids and things like that, buy one offer per day with either the raid credits, war credits, you're going to get the meta item in this. So it seems like it's pretty easy if you're just looking for the meta item. If you're looking to go past that a little, hopefully you have your gold orbs saved up, had an abundance of these. What do you think of this event as you're seeing this? And we'll get to the leaderboard after that.
Yeah. So for me, if we're not going to talk about leaderboards, this is just
a checklist. We will. I just want to separate the two, the normal milestones, the leaderboard milestones.
Yeah, so this kind of event for me now is just it's a checkbox event. I'm like, okay, I got the meta item check. I'm not going to look at it again because there's no way I can compete. Like, even though you can spend raid credits and war credits on some of these offers, don't kid yourself. To compete in this event, it's going to come down to power cores, gold, buying gold orbs, and maybe they'll even sell milestone points like they've done in the past.
Yeah. So the normal event should be pretty easy. It's this leaderboard, though. The leaderboard, this is the one that's going to be very, very challenging. So you can get up to a 5 red star Quicksilver, which is not going to be available for purchase for a while. So that was a blog post to say, hey, if you want to get your Quicksilver up, spend a lot on this event. What do you think about these kind of auction events that are becoming more and more prevalent in this game?
I hate them, and I am glad some of the Krakens are leaving the game in spite of them or because of them. Like Tando left, Duff left, a bunch of the people that used to be in Troopers that ended up going to Mutiny, Legion, and Onslaught, they've all quit now. I literally three people in my alliance, I'm in with Onslaught now, have left the game because they're like, I'm done with these. They're no longer trying to make you buy against the computer. They're trying to make you buy against other players, which just ratchets up the spending. I'm sure they made a buttload of money. I'm sure they got to sell the company better for that reason. But they've also neutered their player base and built in so much burnout that they're losing the spenders that they need to keep the game alive. So I'm hoping that we're going to see a lot less these in the future, but I'm not holding my breath because, you know, for every Kraken that leaves, a baby whale is born. And then maybe they graduate one day to a Kraken.
Well, again, what I talked about is a while ago, you know, Archangel put it interesting for me when I was asking about why are these events so grindy? Why are they so like auctionist? And he didn't talk about scope, but he said, you know what? At my former job, I had sales targets. When I didn't meet those sales targets, there was consequences. So I'm thinking these devs, they're just trying to find a way to keep these numbers up because of all the hyped up numbers that we had during COVID, during 2020. The numbers went up as far as players and spending and everything like that. So I think they're just trying to keep these numbers up and maybe they can't find creative solutions or fun solutions for this. And this is just their way to do this. And hopefully it doesn't chase off too many players with this.
Yeah, I think it would. I think it is. But
it is. But I don't know. Hopefully the player's voice movement gets more momentum and we could get this turned around a little bit.
Yeah.
Also starting today, we have this Forces of Nature event celebrating Earth Day. Some pretty easy things to do. You're going to have to collect these Green Guardian orb fragments, but very easy. Just do your daily objectives. So hopefully you haven't claimed these yet. I think I actually claimed mines earlier today, so I didn't hoard this correctly. But Alliance donations, very, very easy. Just doing your normal stuff and then doing your Alliance donations. I'm assuming this is for your 50 core donations to get all the way for that stuff. And then the big reward on this, in my opinion, is these Namor's Talokan costume. What do you think of this event and the rewards for this? Is this something that people are really pushing for? Or is this just like a bonus event with some easy milestones for people?
Yeah, I think you're just going to complete this just by existing in the game, and that's fine. I don't think the rewards are anything to write home about. Elite 5 is nice. The costume, I already have the costume. I don't think I spent money for it. So I think they gave it away before as well. But that'll just convert into costume tickets you can use on somebody else, which is kind of cool. And I'm all for these kind of events. Look, it's nothing that I'm going to wake up and be like, oh my God, the Force of Nature starts today. I'm so excited. But I'm also not like, oh, that leaderboard.
So. It's like easy stuff. This is not a lot of extra stuff that we got to do. Instead of clicking the 10,000 gold, you just click the 50 cores. That's pretty much the only difference that I'm doing for my normal stuff. Now, both of those events are not in the game right now, but they should be going live on the normal schedule time on the 2 p.m. later today. But this event is this special offensive, which has some pretty decent rewards. There you see some shards for Absorbing Man. We see some Bucky shards, some Captain Carter shards, some pretty decent rewards. Agent Venom, Union Jack, all shards for these recent characters that we want. For this one, though, you're going to need to spend raid credits or earn raid credits and spend campaign energy. So have you been hoarding your mail with all your raid rewards and everything like that? Are you prepared for this? Do you have, are you set up for this to like max this out on day one?
I haven't looked at the point collections. I have been hoarding for the last 6 days. I doubt it'll be enough to max it. I bet it doesn't even get you to those, the start of the dark promos.
Maybe these milestone 26 or so.
That's typically what I think the free-to-play hoarding meta will get you, like an Elite Four, which is great. And then the Captain America World War II shards, like that. I still have a two-star Captain America World War II, so I'd love to get him up to three before the raids comes out.
Gotcha,
So yeah, I'm as hoarded prepared as you can be, but I'm also not like, I'm going to finish it day one, so...
So what do you think of these reward selection that they got for her? The characters seem way better than those business characters that they give in that previous milestones.
Yeah, 100%. And this is where I will fight people who talk about like event immersion. Like, just pretend Kang is a business character. He runs an empire. That's kind of like a business. He should be in there. Why not? He should be every single prize in there.
That's very true.
But yeah, they're way better. I love these kind of events where we get trickling shards of new characters, and that's their excuse for giving less on character releases. Like for Captain America World War II, they gave 45 shards out, but since then I believe he was in one milestone event. He's now in this milestone event. The last one, I think it was a free-to-play milestone you had to hit, but that's whatever, right? In this one, it looks like it's gonna be more free-to-play, so they're using that as an excuse for having stingier character releases. So you really want to try and pick these ones up when they come around.
Yeah, it seems like they've shifted it, right? Without communicating us. They're giving us the same amount of shards free to play, but it's not all at once. It's not all front loaded and then we get to farm them. It's like a little bit in their initial event that is going to trickle out in some milestones and some future events. And then way later than we've had in the past, then it's eventually going to be farmable or maybe not. But yeah, it seems like we're getting a decent amount of shards. It's just not all at once like we've had in the past.
Yeah, I wish they would take a poll on people and be like, do you like this better? Or do you like it when you were able to get a 4-star on the character release event? And we would all be like, yeah, go back to the character release event where we can get all the shards at once. We don't want to wait. Let's
do an informal poll now, Dorky. Like, what do you do? You like it better before or like this?
No, I like being able to farm at least 180 shards when a character has their release event.
I liked it better before as well. I was spending more money before, if that makes a difference, Scopely. Yes. So bring it back the way it was. I'll spend more money. I don't know about the rest of the community, but I will. So please bring it back. And let me know in the comments, guys. Do you like these character releases as they are now? Or are you getting more of a trickle-down method? Or do you want all that stuff right at once? Hopefully you get this and get some response from Scopely. Now, we did get another new character this week. It's not just Quicksilver this week. We got one last week as well in Iron Fist World War II. Mm-hmm. I did not unlock this character. Skilled Nick Fury in Captain America World War II, along with the Secret Avengers, smashing the skill raise right now. Seems like he's unnecessary right now, but will be required once these incursion rewards, these incursion raids event start. How useful do you think this character is on this team? Obviously, it doesn't need him for Doom 3.5, but how important is going to be when these incursion raids come?
Yeah, I think every single Invader member does bring something unique to the team for the next set of raids. It's like you said, like right now, Fury plus Secret Avengers, even absent Captain America World War II, can get you through the three nodes safely, which is something we weren't able to do before.
Yeah.
Now, Iron Fist, he's a lot of healing. He's some good AoE damage, so you can get some vulnerables if you have him as a raider. I prefer him as a skirmisher because I'm nutty like that. So he, like you, I haven't unlocked him. I didn't even look at coring his orbs because I don't think he'd be valuable at three star anyway right now. It's not like he's going to be some kind of war or crucible character. But yeah, he has the tag. He's got the tag. You need him for the raids eventually.
How did you do on red stars for him? As you can see, I got zero red stars. I've done a video. I've opened a bunch of orbs since then and still zero for him. What did you do with your Iron Fist World War II? I got nothing on this character. So I'm glad I didn't buy him, Scopely.
You might be a little upset with me. So since I stopped buying characters.
You got a seven?
No, not even close. No, since I stopped buying characters, I've gotten a 4 red star on the first Elite Four orb I've opened for every single character since.
Oh my goodness, you must have a big stockpile for all that stuff. I got to stop by these character offers as well.
Yeah, I do. And I have like 7,000 silver promos, so they're all going to 5 eventually anyway. And I don't think they need to be higher than 5 for raids. And if they do, it'll be like one of them gold promo, and that's fine.
Yeah. Now, where do you think he's going to be used outside of the raids? Do you think this Evander team is going to be used outside of his raids at all? Are they going to be like a tough defense on Crucible, kind of like Rebirth? Same thing with War, or are you going to have some real value, maybe as an offensive team in Crucible or War?
So I've heard rumblings of people being able to use them and beat Young Avengers in War, which is interesting.
Good. That's good.
Yeah, it's interesting.
Is that a 5 piece or some of the characters?
That's the 5. That's all
5 piece. Okay.
Yeah. I myself tested them on the playtest and they were garbage. They sucked on defense. It was instant win with X Factor. But X-Factor. Here's the thing.
Old team. Reese. Okay.
Yeah. But wait, here's the thing. Cause here's the kicker. The playtest is where you go to get wrong information, apparently. Cause I then tried to do that in a live match on like 100K punch up, which is barely anything. And I died. Right after Shatterstar did his special, he was immediately killed and everything went to hell in a handbasket real
what
quick.
What the heck?
Yeah. So isn't I have the no idea of the how good this will be. I don't know.
Isn't that the purpose? Isn't the purpose of the playtest server?
Every time I go to test something on the playtest, it then comes to the live and it's just so much better or so much worse. There's no in between. It's never dead on. I'm just sitting here like, oh, I look like an idiot now. So
Dorky, it may be on your fault. Are you looking at the JSON of all the test server stuff and making sure that it's exactly how it's supposed to be, or and looking for errors on the test server? Yeah. Because that may be where you're going wrong. There, you're not verifying that it's the same kit that's in the test server as it's going to be in the game.
Yeah, 100% user error. I'm just glad I had it recorded.
It's not Scopely's fault. It's our fault. All right. Anyway, you know what else is our fault, Dorky?
Oh no! What now? What did I do?
We got these incursion invaders delayed. This incursion event that was delayed. It was supposed to be going live last week. We got a message the day that it was supposed to go live that it is delayed till March May 5th. Now, why do you think this happened? Because I have an interesting theory that I saw on Reddit, and you may already know. But why do you?
I haven't read Reddit. So, oh, yeah. I mean, I'm hopeful that they looked at it and they're like, hey, maybe we should wait until we let Free-to-Play get Iron Fist before we do this event. So I'm hopeful it was that, but I don't know.
That would be nice. That's a better response than I was thinking. I saw on Reddit was someone said, you know what? They were so busy trying to appease to Donald Mack over the past few weeks. They forgot to build this thing and they saw, oh, it's supposed to go live this afternoon. We got to delay this thing. We got to actually build this thing. How much weight do you think happened with there? I mean, how much weight do you put behind that comment?
I don't think so. I think the conversation they had with Tando Mac was probably very straightforward. He was like, I want this. And they said no. And he said later. And that was probably it. I'm hopeful that somebody there grew conscious even for a minute and was just like, okay, maybe we should hold out on this event so at least people can get in there for a meaningful amount of time with free to play rosters.
So it's not because they forgot to build this and make this live.
Well, I mean, it could be that too. It could be that too. It could be that Tando Mac quit and they weren't trying to appease him because otherwise they would have let him pick Kang or pick Zombie Iron Man. But maybe they just went through severe depression when he left. How am I supposed to go to Aruba?
I don't want to finish this raid. Let's just delay it. I'll finish it in a couple weeks.
Yeah.
All right. Let me know your theories of why this was delayed, guys. Is it to be nice and give more players a chance to unlock these characters, or they just forgot or something else. All right, but let's move on. One thing that they did do very well this week, they got these save squads in, and I think this works very well. This works exactly how I thought it would. So if you go to your section of the roster or the MarvelStrikeForce.com page, you click on the save squad, it takes you to this. This has your save squads from in-game. So it's linked your roster, your blitz tabs, all this. Now, the good thing that is new, this import tab, so you could get a code and import all the save squads of somebody. Have you used this yet?
I have not, but this is exactly what a lot of people have been asking for a long time. Yes. I love it for Tower. When Tower comes back, this is going to make it so much better to make up those teams. For War and Crucible, I like it. I always found Arena to be a waste of a space for Tag. And then for the Blitz, similar to Tower, it's going to be a godsend when you're making up your new Blitz rotation, because you know you haven't done it since the last six characters came out, and you're going to put them in the right teams and whatever the case may be. And just the way the website handles, you know, a character not being available because they're already on a different team. I love it. I absolutely love it.
I love it too. This is much needed for a while. So kudos on this. This is a good thing. Keep doing quality of life things like this, Scopely. Let's move on to the other thing that I wanted to ask you about. And it is new Cosmic Crucible season. We haven't given a 32 player tournament coming in Cosmic Crucible. And if we look at the current season in Cosmic Crucible right now, it says it's ending in a little less than a few weeks. So how are you preparing for this Cosmic Crucible season right now? New season 3. Are you changing anything? Are you changing up any of your teams? Anything like that? Or are you going to wait till we get more announcement? If you look in game right now, it says 15 days till the next season starts. So what are you doing to prepare for season 3 right now?
I'm making a cake because I'm going to be so happy when season 2 is done and Wakanda is not in stage 6 anymore. And hopefully Tangled Eternals is not in stage 5, though I think they still will be. I'm just very much looking forward to this season being over. I did really well this season. I went all the way up to rank 6.
Nice.
And then I lost like 15 in a row, and I'm down at like 150 right now. So I'm just ready for it to be over.
Did you enjoy this Eternals season more than and Tangled Web season more than the previous season with the mutants?
The mutant season was fun at first, and then it lasted too long, right? Like before everyone started just kind of figuring out what the craziest mutant teams would be, then it was fun. And now it became trash. But this one, it's just the way they're dictating what teams are like the no-brainers for defense as far as the Wakanda room goes and for the Tangled of Eternals room. I really don't like that. And then when you take into account the changes to Apocalypse, and he makes that room 5, just the haves and the have-nots. So if I put my Tangled of Eternals in stage 5 and someone comes in with a big boy Apocalypse, there's no fail check for them. He ults right away. He gets 100% speed bar. He kills Weaver instantly. And that whatever team he brought in there, whether it be Unlimited or a Darkhold, wins. But if you don't have the Awakened Apocalypse because you didn't drop $50,000 on the game, then that's not an option to you. And now you are either forced to do the mirror matchup or to take the sketchiest matchup ever. So what it did is it hard gated Crucible behind money, at least in my opinion, for the higher ranks. Mind you, this is not a thing that affects the majority of the player base, so it... whatever, I suppose.
All right, so where are you expecting to be in the final rank of this season when it's all said and done?
2 weeks. I just won my last one, so I should be breaking back into like the top 120. I'm hoping to smash my way back through to the top 100 and maybe finish Grandmasters for the next 2 weeks. If I go 2 and 3 in both of them, then I will be back into Grandmasters to round out the season, which I think would be very, very nice. Because when I got to rank 6, I was super pumped. And when I got to rank 180, I was super depressed. So I'd love to end somewhere in the middle, but at least with that Grandmaster title.
Are you excited for these changes? Like, are you happy with the way Crucible is right now? Is it just the room bonuses that you're dissatisfied with? Or everything, the way the rules and everything work? Are you pretty happy with that? Or are you wanting more changes coming in season 3 other than just rooms?
I'm very happy with the changes they made. I think it increases the competitive nature behind it. I do hope that they can find a way to make the scores pop up, not after the 24 hours, but after you've done all your attacks. Because once you've done all your attacks, you should be able to see what's going on.
That's one thing I would like to see. When I'm done with my attacks, I want to see what my opponent did. That would be a little change. That's a good point. I forgot about that. All right.
Yeah. So aside from that, though, I love the changes. I hope when they're doing these war changes, they bring some of them over there. Like, don't let people see what's happening in a war until after the fact. So there's no like, let's wait and see how many fails they get and win on efficiency that way. I hope they're taking the best of these experimental new modes and applying them wherever they are applicable.
That's a good lead in, because I did want to talk to you about these war rewards. We have a new teal war orb coming towards the end of April. Do you think we're going to get that in a few weeks, or we're going to get that in May as far as the is new war rewards?
I mean, they didn't put a year on it, so I think like last April we were told about a teal orb, so maybe it's like 2024 is when we're going to get the teal war orb.
That makes so much sense. Yeah. It just says April, towards the end of April. That's good.
All right, yeah, now I mean, it's cool, but it's not gear tier 17, so it feels very meh for me personally. I like, it's gonna be good to help people get Dormammu faster, but I don't know, it's kind of, doesn't it feel kind of like opening up gear tier 15 orbs felt when we were working on Dormammu at that
point?
Yeah,
it's just old. I mean, if unless there's gear tier 17 stuff in there, there's the 16s, but unless there's 17, we're like a gear behind, because you know we're prepping for incursion raids and the 18 coming up, Dark Dimension 6. So yeah, it feels a little old. All right, so but the big thing here is not that orb. Obviously the orb is awesome, you know, that they're doing it. It's late, but it's good that they're adding that. But Nowhere Siege, this limited time run where these war attacks and these wars are going to be based more on efficiency rather than who could beat each other to the other's armory and win that first. What do you think of this Nowhere Siege, this temporary rules? And do you think that these are going to be more permanent rules as they come around?
Yeah, so it seems like they are taking aspects of Crucible and trying to apply them to war, which I am very excited for. I think everyone would agree that Crucible had so much hype behind it. There's so much more engagement with Crucible than there has been with war since Crucible came out, that to try and replicate some of that would be good. But I also know a lot of people who are completely polarized to my opinion on this, and they are not excited for this whatsoever. So I'm excited myself, not just to see what it's like, but to see how it plays out for people and how opinions either evolve or stay the same, and what kind of, not exploits, but what kind of sneaky, shadowy behavior the community comes up with to make this not an overwhelming win, because that's always the case.
Well, are you building any characters now? Cosmic Villains replacing military with room bonuses. Black Order and Thanos, now they're going to be back, but receiving bonuses on defense. Are you building up any of these characters now in preparation for this, or are you waiting to see if this becomes more permanent?
Well, I'm waiting to see, but my Black Order is pretty high up there already. They're all level 90. They're all gear tier 15. Ooh. So for me, it would be slapping some 16s on them.
Wait a minute. That means you were building your Black Order after they were out of the meta. Why are you bringing Black Order up? Are you just building everybody up?
For a while, Valley, Black Order was the go-to method to get Red Hulk to ultimate, and then all Black Order members died, and you were able to beat the Gamma team on a follow-up.
Gotcha. Okay.
So that is the extent I went to for a burn team, because I was tired of it failing.
Makes sense. All right, so we'll see what these Nowhere rules come in. I mean, defeating the Armory and Hangar, it's gonna be
less of a race, more of a at your leisure, which I think is cool.
And one more thing. Everybody's going to receive all the energy at the start of war. How big of a change do you think this is going to be towards some of the strategy that some of your higher level alliances that like you guys are playing is going to be affected by this? Everybody get all their energy at once.
So I think this is cool, but it could also be problematic. Before, when you start with four and then you'd buy four, you'd have eight attacks total, and there was a race mechanic where everyone in their alliances would get together on Discord and coordinate attacks and try and do the push. And that's with eight attacks. Instead, we're going to have 14 attacks now to play with. You know, 10 if everyone wins every single match and clears the helicarrier. So I like it, because now I no longer have to log into the game every 3 hours and 45 minutes to use an attack, which is great. I'm interested to see how it's going to make the initial push in wars, because of the tiebreaker rule, which is so stupid. I can't believe they would make combat cancels not count as a loss on the efficiency side, and then have the tiebreaker be whoever wins first. So what they wanted to do is they wanted to get rid of the race. which I like because that makes more people maybe more interested in competing in war and finding a like-minded alliance groups and doing it like that. All the other mobile games that I'm currently playing, it's like that. It's not time-based, it's efficiency-based. It's when you get in, make sure you're doing a good job, following proper strategies, blah, 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 blah. They've tried to do that here and then immediately shot themselves in the foot by saying combat cancels don't count. You have 14 attacks, which essentially gives everybody 4 mulligans. And then whoever wins first is going to win, which could mean that for super competitive alliances, you're going to be online from war launch for us in Eastern and Zone 1. That's at 9 o'clock. You might be there sitting, waiting to use the proper counters and the proper teams for 3, maybe 4 hours while your officers figure that out. It's too much because of how they're treating the efficiency loss via combat cancels and the stupid tiebreaker.
Do you think that this won't even be a factor? I know there was like some tiebreakers in Cosmic Crucible and things like that at the end. And I don't really get too many ties because of the way the scoring is. Do you think that this tiebreaker will be used often or this will be used kind of rarely?
In certain metas, like the meta we just left and in this meta as well, this tiebreaker would happen actually quite often. Because if you're getting 10 attacks at the gate and you can buy 4, you have 14 attacks. You only need 10 wins per player in your alliance to clear the helicarrier. And if combat cancels don't count, that essentially gives you 4 redo buttons. The last time I lost 4 times in war, it was actually last war because I was being a goofball. But the last time when I was being serious in war, I haven't lost 4 attacks while taking it seriously for years. So in the competitive scene, that's just not, like, it'll always go to a tiebreaker. It'll always go to whoever cleared first. So they really need to not do that. Or they need to introduce a Heroes for Hire like team. And for the love of God, don't do that. Because that's garbage. Don't do that.
Not defense. No more defense.
Yeah.
What would you have liked seen? What could they have done better as far as a tiebreaker? Or should they have kept the cancel bonuses in there and that would have solved everything?
So they definitely should have kept the canceling bonuses in there. But if they want to leave room for, say, an actual game crash, because a lot of combat cancels are not game crashes. It's just somebody quitting out.
True.
If they want to leave room for that, then you put a number of variable attached to each game crash and say for every 4 game crashes, that counts as 1 loss. You get 1 tick on your efficiency that way. And then that would actually do it. Because right now, how the system works is it's every 24 losses, now you can clear 3.5 hours before your opponent can. So if they don't want it to be that much, like every 24 losses, you can shrink that number down to every 12 losses, you lose 1 efficiency point. Every 5, 6 losses, you lose 1 efficiency point. And that will very much mitigate the chances of tiebreakers. Then coming down to this, whoever cleared first, incentivizing like huge, huge investments, time investments from your players being on. And then also when you think about 24 people getting 24 people available at the start of a war, available for all that length of time, it just becomes unmanageable and leads to a lot of burnout. So I think combat cancels need to count some way. If it can count for 1, that's fine. And if a game crashes, c'est la vie, that stuff happens. Or you say every 4 game crashes, every 4 game cancels, it's 1 efficiency point. Ow.
Let's see. You're okay.
Yeah, I punched my desk. Oh, jeez.
War has fired you up so much.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's good talking to someone that's really engaged in war, seeing how these actual affect, because I wasn't aware of all the intricacies in this, and I was like, oh, this is good. But yeah, there are some little changes that I think they can make these tweaks pretty simply, hopefully. And it does look like this is kind of a test of what they're going to do for war. So hopefully they introduce this, they take the feedback, and can make it that perfect system that you're talking about by doing some of those tweaks that you
mentioned. Just a couple tweaks, yeah.
But that, overall, I do like this. But I think there are some fringe cases, like you talk about, those highly competitive alliances that it may not make too much of a difference.
Yeah, right. I think 99% of the alliances, this is going to be just amazing for you guys. And I hope you get to experience the same joy that I have in the past with war.
Nice. Yeah, I think I'd like it a lot better if I wasn't like, oh, I have to do it right now and I can do it on stream later and things like that, because that's when I like to do most of my gameplay like that.
Yeah.
We had a new character become Fountainable. Not farmable, Fountainable. She's in the orbs now, which is good. We're getting more Massive Evil, but I guess the big thing is Kang was released before her. Kang is still not in these orbs. Yeah. Why was Kang skipped? Is he the next Icarus and Agatha, or is he coming in a few weeks? When is Kang going to get added, and or is he not going to get added to these orbs?
I lean into the camp that he's going to be like the Eternals and like Agatha and like Sunfire. He's so impactful. He's going to be needed if you want to be successful in the Nova Scourge. Like, he's the foundation of the Masters of Evil team. So they're going to be able to sell a bunch of offers for him in between now and the Nova Scourge by keeping him more exclusive. So yeah, I think he's just going to be quite a while. He almost should have been a Dark Dimension character with just a little bit extra tweaks, right?
Well, yeah, after they added the tweaks, maybe not before as he was released in his original form, but after they added all those extra stuff. Now, we've had her added this. Now, we've had Moonstone added to these orbs. Do you think it's worth it now to open these orbs just for Moonstone and maybe some of the rest of the Masters of Evil? Or are you still waiting, hoarding your premiums, your mega orbs, in anticipation for the day that Kang is eventually added to these orbs?
Yeah, so I've been hoarding my premium and my basic and my Ultimus orbs since they announced that Masters of Evil was going to be needed for a legendary.
Me too.
That we know that's a Scourge legendary, the value in opening for Masters of Evil, I think, is a little bit lessened. And especially since Kang's not in there. So I'm actually holding all my stuff until the invaders all make their way into the orbs myself. And right now I'm at like 300 premiums, 400 or 500 Ultimus, and 400 or 500 basics.
Nice. So yeah, I'm hoarding mine as well. I've opened a little bit of my basics because I get a little antsy, but I still am hoarding all my premiums, all my megas. And yeah, I think invaders is the right time, because if in a Scourge event, these guys aren't going to be needed. The stars for them aren't needed as much as the gear and leveling them up and all that stuff. All right, moving on, we had War come back, the War Scourge. Red Hulk come back this week. How easy are these for you? Are you just autoing these? And for newer players that are having trouble, what are you recommending for newer players? Is it more the Bionic Avengers? Is it more Hero as Guardians? Are there other characters that you need for these Scourge? What are you doing now, and what are you recommending for players that aren't finished with their Gold Star Red Hulk?
Yeah. So I can just walk through these in my sleep. I can literally auto it. So nice. Building up Ravagers, do not recommend. Building up Hero as Guardians, they're kind of a war defense team and they're not good much else. So I, oddly enough, this was the polar opposite when this event first came around. The Wave 1 Avenger team gets it done. So with Thor, Hulk, now that he's like super powerful as a healer, Captain America, now that that synergy is there, maybe Iron Man, because you're going to have to build your Bionic Avengers for the Death Seed, and then throw in Hawkeye, because he's the best character in the game. And and then you can get through the nodes. I mean, you're not going to be able to push the same amount of Scourges that we were pushing. Like, we were doing 3 to 3.5 million when this first came out. We were being competitive on the leaderboards.
Yeah,
you're not going to be able to do that with Wave 1, but you don't need to do that with Wave 1. Like, in the current pool of players still fighting for those yellow stars, I don't think anyone's pushing 3 million. I don't, like, unless you're top 1%. I don't think that's necessary for many people.
I mean, this is the look right now. Leaderboards right now, 3.8 is on the leaderboards currently. So some people are still pushing some of these bigger scores. I'm not sure if they're just doing that for...
though, right? This is the people that have seven yellow stars.
Oh, it says leaderboard since your highest. Leaderboard score is... Your highest run score. Is this the highest ever that anybody's done, or is this what they're doing in this current run?
So the current leaderboards you're looking at are the people that already have a seven yellow star Red Hulk. Okay. Like, Iron Jesus is in my alliance. He's a Kraken. He's pushing this for fun. He's using Hero as Guardians. I'm talking to people that are still fighting for those yellow stars. They're in a completely different leaderboard, and I doubt that one is going into 3.8.
So this is the this is not even the right leaderboard. This is for everybody that's done already. Gotcha. Okay.
What I would like to see, though, is in this leaderboard, and Scopely, I hope you're listening, if you want to make when the Scourges come around fun for everybody, make there be ranked rewards for the people that already have seven yellow star Red Hulk. Maybe throw in, I don't know, dark promos in there. Have like 50 dark promos, and rank 1 to 50, they can get, I don't know, 200 dark promos. Doesn't need to be a lot, Just something just to get something, people to wet their
some kind of goal. Bit. Yeah, I'd like that. Yeah. Even if it's like something little, just having something to shoot for. I do like that because some of these events are pretty good. But even on these last few rewards, I know I have a lot of these, and it's not really, you know, something that I'm really pushing for at this. Yeah,
but
time.
Also that's 1.5 million. Like you just do difficulty 8 and you can walk through it super quickly. Yeah. If they put a little bit of dark promos or maybe like an elite 4 or elite 5 in the ranked rewards or some amount of that, then people would push with the scourges on again and it would get really competitive and it would build up community buzz and that could be really cool. And I'm going to keep moving my hand like this because I'm super, yeah.
Into scourges and war. We got to your two favorite topics back to back, man.
Yeah, true.
All right. Confusing tweet sent out this morning. I don't know if you saw this, but let me show you this. It says Groot screenshots only. And if we zoom into this a little more, we'll see that Groot, gear tier 17, but he has all these gear tier 18 pieces equipped. He also has this Voyager tag, which was for that previous Kestrel event. What do you think this means? Do you think that Groot is a rework coming for the Guardians? Maybe the Guardians of the Galaxy movie? Is this to introduce gear tier 18? He does have the ISO 8-5 all equipped as well. So there's a few different things this could mean. Where do you, there's a lot of things to look at this. So where are you leaning towards? What did this tweet mean that they sent out?
Well, I'm angry that whoever did this has ISO 5 Striker on Groot or ISO 5 at all on Groot. But I mean,
seven,
this could very much
win Red Star Groot, dude. This is a maxed out Groot.
Yeah, I know, right? And all T4s. Hopefully it means a rework because the Guardians of the Galaxy is such a super cool team. You know, their movies are always very, very fun. Like soundtracks of probably your parents' childhood, which you were listening to in the car on road trips and stuff like that. So I would be super pumped for a Guardians rework. I don't think this means necessarily that, but I don't think it doesn't mean that either with that movie coming out. Could just mean another costume coming, right? Like a new remodel to have him that MCU kind of look to it. We'll see.
The new look.
Yeah, we'll see.
All right, so nothing with his gear tier 18, nothing with that old Voyager tag for that old Kestrel event. It's more about the Guardians of the Galaxy tees.
Yeah, I imagine everything besides his character model and the abilities, but this was just a screenshot of some other character. Like, I'd be interested for somebody to go on MSFGG and see if that's the actual power level of a gear tier 18 with ISO 5 and everything T4'd.
Maybe. Well, I think they get a little bit when it's actually equipped up to gear tier 7, from 17 to 18, even with all these little pieces. But yeah, I don't know. I don't know. We'll see. We'll see what this means. Let me know your theories in the comments, guys. There's a lot of different directions you could go with this. But last but not least, it is time for some data mines. And the big thing in the new data mines here is it looks like Tadano has made his pick for these shards here. This, you could get a Champion's Orb or a Conqueror's Orb, at least what it looks like from the data mines. The Champion's Orb is going to have Dark Beast shards. The Conqueror's Orb is going to have Ancient Venom shards. Previously, we've had these two orbs and we could choose some combination. So it looks like we're going to get four orbs. So we could pick some combination of Beast shards or Ancient Venom shards or all one character or all the other. Is this good news? Did he make the right picks, judging by what was available to him?
Yeah, by what was available to him, I think he made the best choice he could have. The Agent Venom was super stingy on the release, and Dark Beast was at the very least more stingy than the Nemesis one was. So he gave us two essential raid characters to get extra stars on, which I appreciate. And I would evaluate, if I care more about raids, I'm going to do Agent Venom. Because the Rebirth team will struggle more than the Deathseed team will. Because the Deathseed, Playmaker, Archangel, you get his stars quite readily, right?
Okay.
If I wanted a better War team or a better Crucible team, then I'm probably going to take the Dark Beast shards if that'll increase the star level. Because Deathseed is just better in all game modes, right?
That's an interesting point. Would you take it to the next star level, or would you just get the shards of the people? Let's say I can't, neither of them are getting to the next star level. Would you just focus on one character and try to get them as close to the next star level as possible? Or would you split these up? Because both are valuable. Neither of these characters I have is seven stars. So I'm going to like shards for either of these characters. What would you do? Where would you create that split?
It's actually my exact situation. I'm at about 53 and then 48 out of 200 on both of these characters. I'm going to take all Agent Venom shards because I do believe Rebirth team will be the current established raid team that'll struggle the most in the next raids. of getting Agent Venom closer to his star level, and then maybe pulling a lucky premium or a lucky mega orb at some point, because I do have all that hoarded as well. If that can then get him to that six star, then that's what I would prefer to put my RNG hope into.
Yeah, I think I'm making the same pick as you. Different reasons, though. I think I've got way less stars on Agent Venom. For some reason, I don't remember the Dark Beast release, but I got six stars on him. And I did buy one offer for Dark Beast. I don't think I bought any offers for Agent Venom, so it may be just that. But yeah, I'm going to do the same thing. Yeah. Let me know what you guys are doing in the comments down below. But Dorky Dad, that is about it, my friend. Any final thoughts on the direction of MSF after we reviewed everything for this past week?
Well, I'm really hopeful that the Quicksilver stuff is going to be as generous as that data mine kind of makes us think, though. Somebody in my comment section made an interesting point that the majority of players are in the Gold League in Crucible. I don't know how accurate that is, but if that's true, then that does kind of suck. But I mean, also,
we don't have those numbers. Scopely has those numbers, though. They know exactly how many players are in each bracket.
Yeah, that's true. So I'm just hoping that Scopely is taking a lesson from their big dogs quitting. There are a lot of big dogs quitting.
Yeah.
And they are going to try and make people love the game again. Because when you love the game, you're more likely to spend the game. We talked about that earlier. When we were getting more shards on the release method, we were more likely to buy an offer. Because buying one offer plus 180 shards in the release method for most people meant I can get him at five stars if I drop $100 on him or something like that. As opposed to I can grab 100
or bucks. 50. Not
50 bucks.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I'm hopeful that they're trying to go back to that, but we'll see.
I'm hopeful. I'm always hopeful. I'm always more optimistic than I probably should be with Scopely, but I think it's more fun that way than being stressed all the time and, you know, expecting the worst or, you know, I don't know. That is it. 100%. Let me know where you're thinking about MSF. I'm very optimistic for everything that's coming up. Anything that you have coming up on your channel or on your stream that you want to promote, my friend?
Well, I got a bunch of videos. I try and get two or three videos out a week. I'm branching out to a couple new games, like the little ring joke I made earlier. That's because we're playing around with the new Lord of the Rings game, which comes out on the 26th.
Nice. Okay.
Yeah. I wasn't just being cringy on purpose. There was purpose.
I thought there was a joke that I missed there. There's some inside joke. I'm like, I'm not getting this, but all right,
cool. Yeah. After I did it, I was like, oh, what am I doing with my life? But yeah, so we're going to do Lord of the Rings on the channel. I'm excited about that. Makes sense.
Yes. All right. Yeah. Cool. I'm excited for that game as well. I've heard about that from a few different people, and looks like a lot of the games I've been playing in the past, so hopefully that turns out to be good. That is it though for this edition. Thank you for watching till the end. If you haven't already subscribed, hit that subscribe button. If you're listening to the podcast version of this, give this a nice 5-star review, whatever platform you're listening to, and check out some of the other videos on the channel. We got news videos, question and answer videos, tips, tricks, gameplay, everything to help you in Marvel Strike Force. And once again, Dorky Dad, thank you, my friend. Always a pleasure. Are you ready for that fist bump?
I live for it.
All right, here we go. Hulk fist bump. Valley Flying Dorky Dad out. Have a great rest of your day, guys.